A blonde and a brunette walk into a bar, a room, to talk about Jesus, exploring God's word, tackling topics no one likes talking about, discussing biblical truths, and dodging bad theology on the way. This is Her Theology. Hello, ladies. Welcome to Her Theology. My name is Cass. I have Kirst back with me.
Hello, everyone.
She's back.
Good to see you. Or not really in real life. You know what I mean.
And today we are going to be discussing a hot topic.
Very hot.
The Enneagram, which you probably already know because you would have clicked on the title.
Yes.
Which is, I don't know, we haven't picked the title yet, but.
Something about that.
So we're going to discuss the Enneagram. So before we even get stuck in, I know some of you are going to be listening going, oh, here we go. Or I have no issue with the Enneagram. I love the Enneagram. Girl, my number is 1 or 7. I don't know, obviously.
Yeah.
I have very little understanding. And then some of you are going to be like, what are you talking about? So we're going to try and give a really good overview, understanding, history, and explanation as to what we think is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair?
Yep. And if you're into it, please listen to this with an open heart and an open mind, because we'll both share our journeys with it.
Which and where we've landed.
Yep. Yeah.
With yep. It. Yep. Yeah. And know as well, we know you love Jesus.
Yeah.
That's not the question here. So.
Yeah.
Yes. So before we get stuck in though, what is something new you've learnt?
Okay. So I don't know what the official name of it is, but you know, like in paddocks or not even in paddocks, basically on unmown lawn,
yep.
Grass.
Yep.
Those white kind of flower weeds that always get bees in them.
Oh, no. What?
Well, like, you know, like they're not pretty kind of thing. Maybe it's clover.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
That has bees in it, right?
Yep, yep.
Yeah. Well, that's actually very high in protein.
Oh, have you been eating it?
No. I knew you were going to say that. But sheeps eat it.
Oh.
Because, and then I was thinking, like, how does a sheep get so big? Because all it eats is grass.
Yeah.
So
they eat a lot of grass, though.
But that has so much protein in it.
Yeah, there you go.
So
maybe we should start cooking up with it.
Maybe we should.
All the paleo people listening right now.
There's a probably has tip. Like bee stuff in it too, right?
So you don't need to get, you don't need to drink breast milk then to get your nutrients. Go eat clovers.
Gross.
I should explain. I was just watching a documentary series called, I can't remember actually.
Where adults drank breast milk.
There's a whole episode on breast milk. And there was a lady that I didn't know this is a thing that you can have, like it's a medical thing where you oversupply, you keep on producing milk. Yeah, and you need to take medication to stop it, but she's kept it going. And so she produces gallons and she donates it, but sometimes sells it to bodybuilders.
What?
Because bodybuilders think that they're going to get real buff from breast milk. And in the documentary, they're filming her and her husband's like, well, why would we drink milk from a cow when my wife is making it? It makes, and I was like, okay, I actually can see his logic. He's like, this is milk made for humans. Why would we drink something that's not made for humans?
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, I understand the logic. I still can't wrap my head around it. And so like the kids are just drinking it out of a sippy cup. He puts it in his coffee. He made scrambled eggs with it. And I was like, oh.
Because I've heard it as an alternative like medical treatment. I have heard that.
Okay.
I mean, I've never followed up anything about that. I just, every now and then you hear like one of those stories. But yeah, that's
just
interesting.
Just the mind of the matter,
yeah,
isn't it?
Well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's, yeah. Okay. There you go.
That wasn't my
that
new wasn't, thing.
That was very
but
informative.
That is a new thing.
Yes.
So we'll just keep that as a new thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, there good. We go. Very, very informative. Well, let's get stuck in. I wanted to, let's start with kind of an explanation of what the Enneagram is, because some of you will be listening and you'll be like, never even heard of it. And so we just wanted to lay down the explanation, and then Cass is going to talk a bit about the history. So we'll paint a bit of a picture of the Enneagram. So some of you will be familiar with a book called The Road Back to You by Ian Morgan Crone and Susan Stabile. I've read it. And It's a little bit of rain in the background, so don't fall asleep. It's a little bit of white noise. The Enneagram teaches that there are 9 different personality styles in the world. So one of which we ourselves, every individual, naturally gravitates towards and adopts in childhood to cope and feel safe. This is coming straight out of the book from page 24. Each type or number has a distinct way of seeing the world and an underlying motivation that powerfully influences how that type or number thinks, feels, and behaves. So it's all about kind of like revealing your true self, your shadow side, and to offer like spiritual counsel on how to open it up to kind of transformative light.
Yes, which they sometimes will talk about it as an ego.
Yes.
There is references to ego. It's the ego, ego.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like, so this is from page 22 of that book. It's like it says a mask called personality.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like a personality kind of tool. So some of you would have heard of Myers-Briggs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of another one of those, but it's a little bit more involved, I would say.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because what's the process like to actually get your number?
Good question. Well, you basically, I don't know, read through the different types. I mean, I don't know if you take a quiz or if you just resonate.
Oh, so your book didn't have like a quiz. I just assumed all the books have a quiz on it.
Which we're talking about like.
Yeah.
When did I read that? Like 2 years ago maybe?
Mm.
2 or 3 years ago now.
Yeah, okay.
But like when I read it, I really resonated with one of them. And then you kind of sort of resonate with another one, and that's called like your wing. So you get like your main personality.
Yeah, okay.
And then like the wing.
Your backup.
Yeah. You're kind of one that you kind of it's kind of on the chart that they, if you type into a Google search engine, like the Enneagram kind of image, you'll see what I mean, because it lays out the 9 different types and then they're kind of all next to each other in a triangular, starry type, weird-looking thing.
It's very occult-looking, let's just face the facts.
It is. And so your number will be next to whatever one of your wings is. So you'll kind of like flip one way or the other in your main number. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So the writers of this book, The Road Back to You, they really believe that it's a tool that can help, that God can use to restore us to our authentic selves. That's a direct quote. It's about, you know, trying to get to something that's truer and more real. And as long as I don't know that information, I'll never really feel alive or whole. So it's got very kind of Gnostic kind of overtones there. At the root of the message of the Enneagram is kind of like a healing message of self-knowledge and self-awareness.
Yeah.
So really like all about the self. You know, we all put on masks, we all struggle to feel like we're okay. But then, you know, if we've got the Enneagram, we understand why we do the things or behave the way we do or feel the things that we do.
Yeah, okay.
That kind of idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that enough of an explanation?
I think so. I think that's a good explanation.
Oh, do you want me to tell you the 9 types? Would that be helpful or not?
Yeah.
Okay, so these are the 9 different types. The perfectionist is number 1. Number 2 is the helper. 3 is the performer. 4 is the romantic. 5 is the investigator. 6 is the loyalist. 7 is the enthusiast. 8 is the challenger. And 9 is the peacemaker. And each personality type kind of belongs to, like I said, like a wing. So your wing into, you'll be one of those main things and then you'll wing into another one of those things.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And I can see why it's enticing, right? Because even I hear that and I'm like, oh, I wonder which one I am.
Yeah.
Like there's just this natural.
Yeah.
I think it's funny because we don't like labels, but we actually do like labels. It's hilarious. Like we sit there and like, you can't label us. Don't call me
when
that. Don't put me in that camp.
Kind of,
but we actually do really like it because we want awareness and we want to be all knowing.
Yeah.
It just shows a deeper desire and longing in our heart, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, right back to Genesis 3. What does Satan say to them? Like, you'll be like God and know
things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is. It's right there, right from the beginning.
It is. So the history for the Enneagram is quite blurred. See, I've come from a different approach that I really just want to know the history behind it all. So there is a lot, like even in some of the books, some of the, like Vonda's, is it Zondervan?
Zondervan, yeah. This is the thing. Yeah. A lot of evangelical books
have been
published. Published stuff from it, so it kind of makes it confusing as well.
Yeah, because you think it'd be a trusted source. Mm-hmm. It's not just I know. Yeah, and so even in some of those books, they've said things like it's been around for over 1,000 years, and there's different. But actually, there's no evidence to say that whatsoever. The only evidence we have to say is that in 1916, just over 100 years ago, a guy called George Gurchie, he was like a Gnostic spiritual seeker, he came up with the Enneagram, this nine-sided figure. And so if you look it up, it does look like the
what's like the word? That man who's naked who has a star around him, does it? Or is that not really what it is?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, that guy, that came out really wrong. You know that naked guy, like, with his arms out?
Oh.
It's probably something to do with maths or something like that.
Well, it was. So this guy was spiritually seeking, and he thought he could find all the reasons for, you know, creation and meaning and whatever else, all would be aligning within nine reasons. So, like, everything would come down to a mathematical equation of, like, it would all fit into nine. So it's all a bit convoluted and whatnot. And so you have to, it was him trying to find meaning in something and him saying there's something in the number nine, I can find meaning. And he had a little bit of a following. One guy wrote up about it a little bit and then it kind of just laid dormant. I mean, I guess, so he's still got followers now apparently today, but, you know. So a lot of my information I'm getting, by the way, I should say, we're going to link it in the episode notes, but there's a lady called Marcia Montenegro that is an ex-New Ager. She used to be an astrologist and whatever, and she has written a book with some other people on this, and she has a whole website dedicated to not just this but how the New Age is infiltrating the church, but also how to be aware of the New Age practices and whatnot. So I'll link that in the episode notes because you can get more information there.
And tell them the good news.
Oh, yes. And
there's more.
We've just booked her in for an interview, which will be released in the new year, which is really exciting, talking about some New Age practices that we're seeing in the church and just helping people to just wise up and be aware of sometimes things sound and seem and perceive to be really good, but they're actually not. And and the Bible does warn us of that, right? All throughout scripture. So she's going to come on and just share. She's got a really powerful ministry and really trusted theology. And so it'd be really exciting to have her on.
So if you've got questions after this episode, send them in and she can answer them.
That would be great. Yes,
100%.
But anyway, back to it. So George Gurchie, he was the one that kind of originally came up with it just over 100 years ago. And so he was just trying to find reasons and signs and whatnot. Anyway, and so then there was a guy in, I think it was the 60s, Oscar I can never pronounce it. Echazo. He's from Chile, and he like kind of ran a like New Age, occultish kind of school back then. And he adapted it to speak towards our ego. So he's the one that kind of produced it to say, there's something in this 9 points, and it kind of speaks into our ego. You know, we all kind of into trying to find a reason for the way we are, who we are, and trying to find deeper meaning into like finding out who we truly are, that sort of thing. And yeah, so your ego is always about who you truly are, which is interesting because scripture constantly is telling us that our identity is now in Christ, that our hearts are just wretched. So really, you kind of probably don't really want to know who you really are.
Or when you do, then you just want to fall down in front of Jesus.
You might be on your knees crying for a long time. Anyway, but where it really took off was Niraho, it was a psychologist, a New Ager in the 70s, and he's the one that really kind of like took it developed it even further and really like spread it out to the masses and got it far and wide. So he was a psychologist, but he was spiritually seeking. And the thing with him to understand is that he claims that he got all that deeper understanding about the personality types, the egos, how that plays out, all the information around it. He got that by automatic writing.
That's what it was called. I was trying to remember what it was called.
And so automatic writing is where you meditate and empty your mind and then you channel or allow the spirit to lead you.
Spirits. Now, like, keep as in mind, like, this is demonic spirits.
Yeah, and I can't remember the name, but he actually, like, there's like videos of him talking about the names of these spirits, which are demons. We know they're demons. They've got like weird names like Megatron, not Megatron, but something weird like that. And they're actually well-known demonic names that other people have used for other things. Mm. So anyway, that's how he claims he received all this information on it. And then what happened is there was a Jesuit by the name of Bob Oakes that he learnt it from this guy. You just see it, like, just we're just really like, nailing all that.
No, I just feel like a Jesuit, I don't know, by the name of Bob Oakes. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. I was like,
it just feels like out of place.
Bob, anyway. After all the other names I was saying as well. Bob Oakes, Bob I got Oakes. That one right. But anyway, cutting a long story short, he kind of took it, ran with it, adapted it, taught it in some Catholic schools. Catholic Church, from what it seems like, didn't really approve of it. And then other New Age teachers kind of took it and spread it as well. Mm. And then from there, Richard Rohr, I don't know if people are familiar with that name.
So Richard Rohr was the mentor for the guy that just wrote that book that I was talking about before.
Which, just FYI, should be a huge alarm bell for anyone. Do not listen to Richard Rohr. He is a false teacher, flat out. He is not a Christian. I'm like, he is not a Christian. And we know that because of the words that he says and the doctrine he preaches. It is not biblical. It is a false doctrine. It may sound nice. It may sound good. But you look into it and if you know the word of God, you will know immediately. He is not preaching the word of God faithfully. He is not a Christian.
Yeah.
He's also a universalist and whatever else. So Richard Rohr took it and, like you just said, he mentored some
Ian Crone.
Yeah, and some other key Christian speakers and authors and whatnot, and had a massive following through that. Because I think there was a stage there where Richard Rohr was a bit more Christian, and so like people have taken things on, and he's gotten further and further away, and you know, so and so from there it's just kind of
ballooned.
In 2016 was the first evangelical published book, and I don't know if it was
I think it was that one.
Yeah, it might have been.
I think it was The Road Back to You.
Yeah. And so,
and it really kind of took off after that.
Yeah, and it's important to know it's not psychologically, like in the psychological world, it's not it's not used as a tool. Like Maya Briggs is used and whatnot. I mean, I personally, I'm kind of off all sorts of personality testing. I, from a scriptural viewpoint, I actually don't think any of us should be doing any of them. But I mean, at least those ones, you know, there wasn't any weird origin with that. It was actually all psychology and science. Whereas with the Enneagram, like, yes, you might have some counselors and psychologists that acknowledge it, but it's not acknowledged in that world. So it is very much origins and its history. Everything is steeped in occult practices. I don't want to like make it sound nice, like New Age spiritualism. No, it's a cult. It's a cult origins. And if that is not enough to turn you off, then we've got some more points.
Yeah.
And like I said, I can understand for people listening, they'll be going, but you know, it's true. It works for me and it's right and whatnot. And we're going to get to this, but you've got to remember, this is Satan trying to deceive.
It's seductive. Like that's the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And deception is a real thing. And deception, if it's successful, is always going to have an element of truth. Right? Mm-hmm. Like what's that famous saying, the best lie is 99% truth? Because, you know, people can't weed it out. And so I think with this, you know, I mean, I used to read star signs when I was a teenager and that stuff was true. Like I really believe Satan can be very successful at misleading us through these tools. So, you know, keep on listening, keep on hearing our points as we kind of go into the theology and different views. But yeah. So that's just a bit of a history. And my journey with it has just been not
Not long.
Not long.
Because in the sense of, you read it and you were like, this is not good. I know. See you later.
Well, what's funny is my parents warned me about it a few years ago and I was like, oh, whatever. And then I have a few family and friends that even now are still into it. And I was like, oh, it can't be that bad. And then I looked into it a little bit further and I just saw the image and I was like, well, that's that witchcraft thing. And then I looked into it. I'm like, oh, okay, it's got a few more like triangles in it than the witchcraft one. But I was like, it still seems icky to me. And then I started looking into the history and I was like, yeah, nah, steering away and just kind of left it. And then I listened to a few podcasts that just happened to talk about it, which we will link in all these episode notes as well, by the way. There'll be lots of resources for you to do extra research into. And I was like, yeah, nah, we need to steer away from this. And so I have been warning people. I mean, some people don't want to hear it, so I've just kind of left it. But that's where Kirst can explain her journey.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. So I first came across it because one of my best friends came across it and she introduced me to it. And like straight off the bat, I was like totally hooked. I was like, this is amazing. Like this is me to a T.
Yep.
Kind of, you know, right down the line. And so then she had the book and I bought the book and I read the book and I bought the book for a few other people and I gave it to them because I was like, this is super helpful. And, you know, at that point I was like, you know, it's helping me really pinpoint my sin, this kind of thing. And then Cass was like, what? Are you into the Enneagram? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, that stuff is from the devil or something like that. And I was like, okay, whatever. And crazy so alert. I was just like, I was kind of like, and you know, it, there's things that I was probably like, there's something off about this, but there was more on to kind of lure me in.
Yeah.
So I just was like going with it. And then I guess the conversation kind of kept up with Cass. And then it wasn't until I think, because I looked into a little bit of the history online, but it wasn't until I heard the podcast by Cultish, the Cultish show, called Decoding the Enneagram Part 1, which we'll link in the episode notes. And just listening to that, I was like, oh, there's heaps more to this.
Which is largely a lot of the notes I just said.
Yeah.
Like, but only more in depth.
So in depth. Like, yeah. It was like way more so in depth. Like, yeah. It was a really long podcast. They even have a part 2, but I only got halfway through that one. And I was like, all right, I'm convinced I'm done. But I listened to that and I had like when I looked up, you know, the background of the Enneagram, none of that spirit channeling, demon channeling stuff came up.
No.
And so that to me, I was like, oh, hold on. Like that's a big like warning sign to me. And then just hearing like people who have come out of like fully come out of the new age who are saying, don't go near it. I'm like, well, they're the ones who can really kind of go, this is very clearly new age, like this is hitting all of the new age type things, which obviously they know a lot more about the new age than I do. But when the tipping point for me was really hearing the spirit channeling thing, because I was like, well, obviously I do not want to be listening to demons. And then the other biggest thing was realizing at the end of the day, the Enneagram is all about you. It's all about you working out yourself. It's all about you becoming a better person. It's all about you being obsessed with yourself, really. And honestly, in my brain, like it's slowly starting to stop, and I pray against it every time it comes into my mind. But I would be like, oh, that person's a whatever,
that number,
three, whatever. Yep. That's why they do this. Or, you know, doing things away with by number. Even that is weird, and it honestly has been a really hard thing to get out of my head.
It would be, yeah.
So I've really had to just like pray against it, especially, you know, if it's like another demon kind of, I don't know, thing, attached to all of that kind of thing. I don't want it in my head at all. So yeah, because I understand like, you know, oh, it really helps me pinpoint my sin, but I'm like, at what cost? Like Jesus really helps you pinpoint your sin. The Holy Spirit you know,
reading the Bible really helps pinpoint my sin.
So like God has given us all the tools that we need. We don't need any more tools. And that's kind of the thing where it's like you end up listening to the Enneagram more than you do to the Holy Spirit. You got a big problem there.
Yep.
And you're trusting the Enneagram more than you're really pushing into the Spirit. You're pushing into demonic spirits more than you are the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and that's it's a hard reality to swallow, but that is what it is.
Yeah. If you're sitting on the fence, or even if you're totally hooked, or even if you're, you know, whatever about it, highly recommend go and listen to that first podcast by them. So after that, I contacted everyone that I'd shared it with and apologized to them and said, this has got really bad roots. It's all about yourself. Please get rid of the book that I gave you. It's not going to help you. And listen to this podcast if you don't believe me. Like, just don't have anything to do with it. And in fact, my best friend, I had a really huge chat to her because she was like so into it. I had a really good chat with her and her husband, and they listened to that podcast as well. And they since gave it up as well. And so
amazing. Praise like, the Lord.
Yeah. So it really was just, I don't know. It's like all of a sudden the lights came back on and it was like, oh yeah, that was not, that was taking focus away from the Bible and from the Holy Spirit and his work and putting it back onto me.
Yeah.
So, that's kind of my journey with it.
That's good.
So we just now have some reasons why we think,
Why
we want to encourage, I guess, you to steer clear from it out there. Really helpful article by Kevin DeYoung called Enneagram Road Back to Somewhere Else, which is a pun off that book. But he has a couple of different ideas in that article, but the most important one that I resonated with was that the approach that the Enneagram has to spirituality is actually alien to and often at odds with the language of scripture. So like they're trying to, you know, well, they say that they're not trying to smuggle in therapeutic, you know, words and stuff like that, but it is, the book is kind of filled up with therapeutic language. Every chapter talks about some combination of forgiving myself, finding my true self, becoming spiritually evolved, being healed, dealing with, you know, behaviors, and pursuing personal wholeness. So it is kind of, but when you hear that, that's not the language of the Bible. That's got nothing to do with the Bible. That's not what we're here for.
Nope.
Jesus says we'll be complete in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So let's worry about all of that then.
Keep on working till the day you die.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we hear nothing actually about, you know, fear of man, the love of the praise of man, covenantal promises, covenantal threats, repentance, atonement, heaven or hell. There's nothing like that mentioned in that book. So it's just, it's not on par. It may sound nice, but it's not. It's not biblical.
No, not at all.
Do you want me to keep going and then you do yours?
Yeah. Well, I'll just interject when
you go they
line
it.
Up because, yeah.
They're going to be pretty much.
I mean, all my points are it's not biblical, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you just jump in wherever you want. That book itself, The Road Back to You, in the book, and this is all, I'm kind of paraphrasing what this Kevin DeYoung has said in this article. In the book, we meet a man named David who's described as having met Jesus crisis that brought him face to face with himself, not brought him face to face with Jesus.
I mean, there's a big red flag.
Well, there's a big red flag there. So it's not a meet Jesus moment. It's a me turning into my true self. And this is what he says. Today I think far less about working and winning and more about Daviding. That's what he said. That's a quote from him in the book.
I'm just going to keep quiet.
Yeah. So not surprisingly, there's a quote from a man named Thomas Merton, which is, you know, one of the concluding remarks of the book that says, for me to be a saint means to be myself.
Okay, so this is one of my points, right? Is that the language behind the Enneagram almost becomes salvific.
That's right.
Right? Like it's confusing because I was reading another thing about a different book and one of the two of the quotes in there was, the contemporary Enneagram of personality illustrates the 9 ways we get lost but also the 9 ways we can come home to our true self. Come home to our true self.
Yeah.
And then the Enneagram is not a tool for self-absorption but instead a map for self-liberation. And I was like, what are you – like?
You can't liberate yourself. Christ. From yourself.
No, Christ is the only one that calls us into salvation. There's nothing we can do. He does it all. He did it on the cross and when he rose again. And he has created us as a new creation in his image.
Yeah.
And we are being slowly refined and edified and transformed into his image and becoming more like Christ. I mean, we're all his image, but you know what I mean? Mm. Like, when I was reading some of these quotes and what you were just saying then, I'm like, it's this message of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Like my self-awareness makes me a saint. What was it? What was that
wording? For me, to be a saint means to be myself.
Yeah, no. Especially because in like Romans it says, like what? I don't know. This is, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Sorry. Getting a little bit angry listening to it.
Yeah,
because it is. It's like, what are you talking about? Mm. I'm like, no, this is not a means to salvation. And I know some people are going to listen to this and go, that's not what they mean. They don't mean salvation. But can you understand how it can come across like that? And you may know consciously that that's not the case.
Yeah.
But the way it plays out in your life is that instead of when you need to repent or when you need to change, you turn to your Enneagram.
Mm.
And you look to the Enneagram to justify Enneagram and your Jesus. Actions. Yes.
You know, yeah. And it shouldn't ever be that.
No, it's
Jesus.
Yeah.
And like even on that, like, you know, Calvin talks about, you know, it's really important to know ourselves and, you know, self-discovery and all that. But what he says is that we need to know ourselves to know God. But what we must know is our shaming nakedness, which exposes a teeming horde of infirmities, is what he says. Knowledge of self is indispensable because the feeling of our own ignorance, vanity, poverty, infirmity, we can recognize that the true light of wisdom, sound virtue, full abundance of every good and purity of righteousness rest in the Lord alone. That's from his Institutes.
Mm.
And so it's like, yeah, know yourself and know that you have nothing and, you know, you are nothing before the Lord because we come with nothing in our hands. We bring whatever that song is. And we've got nothing to give or add.
And, like, does it take that much self-reflection to realize how cruddy we are?
Yeah, but the thing is that we can't fix ourselves. So it's like the Enneagram wants to do both of those things. It wants to shine light on the good things of your personality, but it also wants you to save yourself from the bad things or just give a reason that's not sin necessarily.
Yeah, and like, so that's my other issue with it is justification. I don't have it here. Opening my Bible up. This isn't, that verse doesn't relate to it actually, don't worry. But, I think it's sometimes my issue with it is that it can become an excuse for sin.
Yeah.
Or a justification for sin.
Like, I just do this because this is my type or whatever.
Whatever number I claim on this episode, I have zero idea what I'm saying. So please don't think, she's that. Okay. Mm. But, you know, I'm a 2, so therefore that's just how I am. No, that doesn't excuse you for being a jerk or for being a wimp or whatever it may be. No, God says clearly in the scripture how we are to act and what the fruits of the spirit look like. Mm. Anything outside of that, we need to be changing.
Yeah.
We don't justify and excuse it away.
Yeah.
That's one of my issues with it.
Yeah. And I don't know if I necessarily did that, but I think the fact that the number came to my head before I am, you know, the idea that I am saved by Jesus, you know, in a sinful situation, you know, when the Enneagram number is coming to your head first. It's just, it's not right. Yeah, it's just not. So, I mean, I don't know where you're at with your notes, but this is, this is going to make you so angry. This is how the book The Road Back to You ends. It's a prayer and it is deeply alarming. Like, okay, here it is. This is from that book. May you recognize in your life the presence, power and light of your soul. May you realize that you are never alone, that your soul in its brightness and belonging connects you intimately with the rhythm of the universe. Yeah. May you have respect for your individuality and difference. May you realize that the shape of your soul is unique, that you have a special destiny here. This is a prayer that behind the this isn't even a prayer. That's the whole thing. That behind the facade of your life, there is something beautiful and eternal happening. May you learn to see yourself with the same delight, pride, and expectation with which God sees you in every moment. That's a supposed to be a prayer.
The last bit is okay.
The other 12,000 lines of it. Are not. Like, wow. Yeah. Isn't that, I mean, even words that it uses, but the brightness of your soul, the light of your soul.
My soul's pretty bright and light though. No, it is, it just shows, can
intimately with, in rhythm with the universe. What the heck does that mean?
Yeah. Well, it's New Age.
That's what, yeah. It's
spiritualism.
Yeah.
And it sounds good. That's where you've got to understand it's deception.
Mm.
And deception, this is where as believers, we need to understand that our experiences, and we've said this in numerous episodes, our experiences don't define the truth.
That's right.
And we have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
We have the tools to know what is truth, right? Mm. Now, outside of that, our experiences don't define truth. And so when we hear these things, we go, that sounds pretty good though. That sounds all right. Mm. And so I can understand why we fall for it.
But like that part particularly, I'm like, nah, I'm not falling for that.
I know. But you get what I mean. No. I can
in general. But which leads me to Colossians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10, which Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. You do not need the Enneagram to bring you to fullness, though that is what it feels like it is doing. It is not. It is taking you away from fullness.
Yes. Amen. Mm. That is so true. Yeah. 1 Timothy 4, 6 to 11. I just want to read this out. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. That's what you were just saying. Mm-hmm. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And 2 Peter 1, sorry, I'm just flicking between my Bible. 2 Peter 1, 3 to 11. His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. So hang on. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Enneagram wasn't around back then. Just throwing it out there.
Mm. And it's to life and godliness in all knowledge in him. What did that part say?
And through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire.
Yeah, so is it knowledge of ourselves?
No.
No.
It's knowledge of God. Yeah. And when we have a right knowledge of God, we have a right understanding of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We truly do. Mm-hmm. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, and knowledge being knowledge of God, mm. knowledge of the ways of the Lord, knowledge, because we know all throughout Proverbs, you know, what is folly? Folly is the world. It's mm. the man's thoughts. Knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love, if these are yours, and multiplying, etc. And I'm not saying knowledge is in, don't go study and be an academic. I'm not saying that. I'm saying knowledge is in trying to find some super special spiritual or unknown knowledge about ourselves, about the universe, about meaning, all that sort of stuff. That belongs to God and God mm-hmm. only, and yeah. that's who we seek for all that information mm. and for that knowledge. And to me, I read these scriptures and I'm like, this is just a godless myth, really. Mm. And I struggle with those. I know a few people that are like fully against, they wouldn't ever do tarot cards. Mm. They wouldn't ever read star signs mm. or have anything to do with astrology, but they're fully into the Enneagram.
But that's
the
thing.
There is no difference.
That's the thing. That's where we really need to stop and look at the similarities, even if it's published by an evangelical.
It doesn't mean anything these days.
Even if it's believed by famous Christians, whatever yep. you want, it doesn't matter. Like, we need to do the hard work and work it out ourselves.
Yeah, and it is at the core the same as those things,
mm.
isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
I also, for me, can I be really honest, the one thing that I kept on going back to, the reason why I don't have anything to do with this sort of stuff, is because I always go back to Deuteronomy. Some of you are like, I know where she's going to go, Deuteronomy 18. Oh gosh, now I can't open my Bible. My husband's got the new Bible and the pages aren't ruffled enough. I know. I'm like,
it's too new.
I know. And he's so precious about me touching it. It's the Reformation Study Bible. It's the R.C. Sproul one.
Wow.
It's
very leathery. It's really good.
I will say, I will recommend this as a resource. The commentary alone is amazing. Top notch. But, yeah, my husband's very like, when you come into the land that the Lord is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the
abominations,
oh my gosh, how can I not say this word? Abominable practices of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who burns his son or daughter as an offering, anyone who practices divination, tells fortunes, interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or a charmer, or a medium, or a necromancer, or one who inquires of the dead. Whoever does these things, blah, blah, blah. And the punishment for that was death.
Hmm.
So I just always go back to that. I'm like, God is a very jealous God. I mean, the first command is to love the Lord your God, mm. like to honor him, to have no idols. Mm. These are in his Ten Commandments. Yep. I mean, the very heart of the Lord is that he is the number one. And so these things do, like you said, they distract from that. Mm. You touched on it heaps, but I just wanted to share just really quickly just a few more pieces of scripture. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. I can see how the Enneagram just does not do that.
Or you may think you're doing it, but really you're just focused on yourself.
Yeah, and not even the whole like humility count others more significant than yourselves. Again, that whole like, well, they're just a 3. Well, they're just a 7. Oh, that's that. And I'm like, so are you looking down on them?
Or even if you're like, well, they're just a 3, so that excuses this in a way. So I don't have to go and talk to them about or whatever.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yep. No, I agree. And Romans, because Romans is always a sobering
punch in the face
book to read.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, you really don't need the Enneagram. You know what? just read Romans.
Just read your Bible. That's enough.
Read Romans. Read Ephesians. Read Colossians.
Colossians too.
Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And I'm like, I can just see that this is man-made. And I'm not saying everything man-made, because obviously we have worship songs that are man-made and things like that.
But it's not man-made. That's the thing.
No, yeah, that's true.
Demon man-made. Yes,
that's very true.
Even yes. Worse, the worst two that could come together.
Distinct difference. Yes. You know how you say, don't say man-made, and then they just take it a mile? You're like, yeah, no, yeah. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So for me, yeah, I think it was just all the justification, the judging that can come out of it, the selfishness of it all. They were all just things that really stood out to me as to why I just can't support it. And that's, like I said, if you're listening and you're a friend or a family of mine, that's like, oh, Cass, what are you doing? I'm like, I still love you. I don't think anything ill of you. I think I'm praying that this episode is such an eye-opener and, you know, God uses it to just take the deceit away, because I just don't think there is any place for this in the church. It doesn't matter how you try and justify it, whether it be for ministry, to lead better, oh, it's just for our staff, whether it be for whatever reason, it's helping our marriage, whatnot. There are so many other resources, tools. That's why it's so important you're in community, in a church, because community is what builds and we edify each other. Mm. And just getting into the word, like I promise you, it may not happen overnight, but it will happen, you know, and you don't need this tool. This is a distraction,
mm-hmm.
a complete distraction and a myth.
Yep.
And we can see that. And I think it's been evidenced quite clearly. Mm. So if you're someone that's like struggling with it, feel free to reach out. There are so many good resources out there and information on it as well. Mm.
And send your questions through for Marsha.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Mm. Yeah, and we will ask away for them. Yeah, did you want to add anything else to that?
No. Go and listen to that podcast.
Yeah.
That is what I'll add.
I'll link another episode from Alyssa Childers' podcast, and it's only an hour.
Mm.
But she kind of does a sweeping – it's with Marsha as well, but she does a sweeping thing. There's also like – you can also look up Doreen Virtue on her YouTube channel. She's got heaps of videos on it, Stephen Bankars. So Doreen Virtue was like a huge New Ager. Like I'm saying like multimillionaire, millions of copies of books sold. She was like leading. Mm. She went around with the Dalai Lama. Like she was big name. She's now a Christian and has had a huge conversion, just finished at Southwestern Seminary and graduated. Stephen Bankars is the same. He was huge in the New Age, and he talks about like astro traveling and all this sort of stuff. So, you know, you can also look on their YouTube channels and podcasts, and they've just got a wealth of information. Mm. And I think it's really important, because if you're listening to this, if you've gotten this far and you're into the Enneagram, and depending what denomination you listen to, I think you need to be aware that this is just one tool out of a plethora that has been accepted by the church. And there is a bunch of things that we do within the church, from contemplative prayer to the way we pray to angels and all that sort of stuff, that is from the New Age and it is not of God.
Mm.
And we need to be really careful and aware. So I think going and checking out all the resources that we link is a really good start for you to start just being taking the scales away from the eyes in a sense and starting to look into, oh, what else is going on that I've just kind of absorbed? Because there's a lot of things that I've had to repent of in my life that I did not realize were not biblical.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, like, share, subscribe, review, do all those things. You know what it's like. Definitely share this episode with your friends and family. Mm. That would be really helpful.
Yep.
And we look forward to this interview with Marsha. That'll be really good. In the meantime, enjoy.
Yes. See you later.
Hope you don't feel too heavy.
Yeah. Go and listen to the podcast.
All right. Bye.
Bye.